Hello, you're listening to Learning English with Bingo. I'm your host, Bingo. This is a special episode of Bingo Needs a Friend, Bingo 留声机 for you. We have a special guest from Texas. Let's welcome Hannah. Woo! Hello, Hannah.
Thanks, Bingo. So nice to be here. I love it. Oh my gosh, the first time I'm on a podcast with someone from Taiwan. Super special. I love that.
Oh, really?
Really, for real, for real.
Oh, my God. We should talk about that later. But I need to introduce you to my listeners first.
Right? Yes.
Hannah is this spectacular, excellent Instagrammer. You teach English on Instagram, right?
That's right. Mainly on Instagram. That's my platform. Yep.
Yeah, and I love the energy you're giving to your audience. Like, the reels and the posts, like, so energetic. And you also learn Mandarin, right? So you...We know how to speak our language. You know how to communicate with English learners.
I don't know about that. You know, I will say I'm still a beginner because I'm treating it like a hobby. And you can call me a hypocrite because I tell my students, you got to immerse yourself. You have to be with the language all the time.And, you know, listen to podcasts, like watch videos, watch tutorials, like change your phone settings to English, you know, everything. Immerse yourself. Do I do that?
But you don't?
I don't.
my God.
Yeah, it's because like I'm an English teacher, so I'm speaking English all the time. And most of my students are high intermediate level. So why am I going to be over here like, oh...like using my Mandarin.
But you know, I listened to your other podcast interviews from before, and I believe that you spoke in Chinese just to, you know,
a little bit, yeah.
Give some examples.
Yeah.
And I think you were fluent.
Oh, that is so nice.
Really?
Okay.
No, I mean, you're being too harsh on yourself.
No.
I mean, you see that in your students learning English, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like saying, oh, my English is bad. But I'm like,If your English is bad, then my Mandarin is like negative 20 because like I'm so confused.
Like, but no, you're doing the same to you. I mean, you're Chinese. It's, you know, you should listen to other Americans speaking Chinese or, you know, just listen to those movies, you know, characters trying to pretend that they can speak Chinese,
oh, yeah.
but they're actually speaking nonsense. Oh, my God. That's the worst.
It is.
Have you started noticing that?
I did notice that. Like, they mix some of the, oh, especially tones. Like, I can tell that they use the English intonation to go with the Mandarin. And I'm like,
我是 Hannah.
Yeah, 我是 Hannah. 我喜欢吃 pizza. You know, it's like, what?
But you are doing too great.
Okay, here's the magic.I will say that the real reason why people can get the impression that I sound fluent is because my favorite method for mastering pronunciation is shadowing. Like, I love shadowing. That's what I did with Spanish. I did it with Spanish. I loved that because people were asking me, like, did you live in Mexico? Are you from Mexico? I'm like, I've never been there, ever.In my life.
Oh, my.
So that's where I was like, oh, I got to do this with Mandarin, too. And that's why I listened to, like, some natural podcast to, like, try to recognize some words.
I mean, that's the spirit. Because, like, some students of mine are telling me that, you know, I can't understand all of the information or all the words in the English podcast. But I always tell them, that doesn't matter. You don't need to get all the details, right?
True. Because, like, this morning I listened to Dudu Men.And I love it because I'm like, oh, I can kind of feel the topic because I heard that word like 5 times. I can feel that familiarity. I'm like, oh, let's search it. What does that mean? And then I'm like, okay, I save it. So when I save it, then I can like build that long-term memory. And then at least I can know the topic. I don't know what they're talking about exactly, but at least I know the topic. And then it just accumulates because then I just build that one word, hear it 5 times, and then I hear it again and again and again.It's all about,
wow.
like, enjoying the journey, enjoying the process.
So you're actually immersing yourself in Chinese,
right? The best I can.
Yeah. Yeah, we all do the best we can, right? Life is hard. Yeah. You got to acknowledge that, right?
We have to, because if we don't, like, I was really hard on myself. I was crying because I couldn't, like, express myself. Literally crying in tears several times.
Oh, my God. You mean in Chinese, right?
Right, because here's what happened. I'll take it back to like 2022. I was looking for classes on Amazing Talker. So then I'm like, okay, I gotta find a teacher, because I was doing, at the beginning of like the first, I don't know, first 5 months, I was just doing Duolingo by myself. I didn't have money for classes. I didn't have like, I didn't want to ask my students like, hey, can you help me learn Mandarin? Can you just chat with me? No, I didn't want to do that. I felt too guilty. But they always offered. They always offered. They're like, oh yeah, like, oh, if you want to practice, like, always so welcoming. But I'm like, you're paying me to learn English. Why would I do that?
Yeah, it's weird for us, right? For us teachers. Yeah, but it's cute of them to offer.
It is. It is so cute. So I'm looking for teachers. I take a few trial lessons and they just speak to me like, at that time I was saying, pronouncing like, because I was learning Beijing accent at first, because that's what's on Duolingo. I had no idea there was a difference between Beijing and Taiwan accent. I learned later on. But anyway, I was so confident after Duolingo. I was like, I'm going to prove to them how many words I know. Like, I know this, this, that. And I couldn't use anything. They would just say, like, point to a picture. I'm like, what do you do? Like, I'm so confused. No English. I'm like, oh, what do you want? I told you I was a beginner. I told you before the class.
Oh my God, how did you get out of that crisis? Did you just turn it off?
My heart was beating so fast during that whole 25-minute trial lesson. That 25-minute trial lesson felt like 5 hours. I just felt like I need to get out of here. And I did that like 4 times. I was like, come on, after 4 teachers, there has to be someone. Someone who can understand my pain, like sympathize. I'm like, forget this. I'm complaining to my friend. I'm like, hey, this is happening. And I'm just so frustrated. Like, why can't I do this? I cannot say any sentence in Mandarin. I could just speak words like, oh, 早上, 五点, like, 汉堡, like, but how can I use that? I don't know how to use in a sentence. And I finally found a golden teacher. She uses my same technique that I do.
What do you mean? Like shadowing?
Well, that's one technique, but she doesn't use that. My teaching technique that I use for my students, for my beginners, is TPR.
TPR. Do you want to share with us a little bit more about
that? Absolutely. So TPR stands for Total Physical Response. And it means that, like, the teacher uses the whole body, uses the pictures, uses body movements to build more context so that the learner can fully understand what's being spoken. So she had her little, like, character. It was like a little person. And then she held up another person like, oh, 这是 Tom, 我是 Eva. 你, yeah, you know, the whole building process. I'm like, okay. So you asked me. I was like, oh my God. And she would repeat it so many times because sometimes I wouldn't get it. I'm like, So I respond something. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. But she was so patient. I never, ever met a teacher like that. And I was like, I struck gold right now.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
TPR. I mean, it's like tune into 5 senses to understand it. Wow, that's great.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how we learn our native language.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, you know, she was like, it's a she, right? This teacher.
Yes.
She was like talking to us like a mother when we were a baby, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I wanted so bad. I don't know why it was so hard to find. Because for me, it's like self-explanatory that we have to learn it that way. But the previous teachers, nothing like that. They just expected me to know so fast. Like, just play a video. And then, blah, 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 blah. And then they asked me like what the video is about. I'm like, how in the world? Like, whew. Just fly over my head.
Yeah, those teachers are like dumping stuff onto you and they expect you to understand right away. It's like too hard.
Yeah, like they were trying to do a level assessment, but starting from the top of like...
Looking down and like, you can't understand this?
Yeah, you're trash. I felt like trash. Yeah, they never said anything like that. And I also could feel the energy that they didn't want to like explain it to me. Their face was like... you know, so my confidence level was so low, like I would say like down to the floor low.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. I really felt like an imposter. That I tell my students, be confident, be, you know, it doesn't matter if you make a mistake. It doesn't matter if you say it wrong. Ask questions. And I couldn't do that. I was so afraid. So afraid and ashamed that I couldn't do that myself.
Yeah, but it was totally not your fault. I mean, the teacher is also important. They play a part.
Yeah.
But luckily, you found a great teacher now.
Yes.
You know, I'm quite curious about Texan culture. So maybe we can talk about some stereotypes and expressions today. Can we?
Yes. I love that. Let's do it.
I saw you were laughing.
Yes. Because people literally ask me, oh, is it true? Like, do people in Texas really ride horses? I'm like,
do you? I got to ask
I've
that.
I've only ridden a I only rode. You see, even my English, I make mistakes.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling my students. Thank you.
Yeah, you say I'm a native. You know, it's all good. I have only ridden a horse once in my life. Once. And it was because we went to a field trip to like this farm or something.
Are you a Texan? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Please continue.
Yes. Oh my God. And you know, okay, so that's one. We do not ride horses. If I see a horse, that is so special. I'm like, oh, it's a horse. I get so excited because it's not like you see it a lot. Given the fact, especially because I live in Houston, Texas. Houston is a big city now. Big city. Yeah. All right, so horses. Not true. We do not ride horses. But you will see them, okay? They exist. They're here.
They exist. Thank you for that information, Hannah. Okay, so no, how do I say it? Like, not everyone rides horses. That's what you're saying, right?
Correct. Like, what you will see is like those special occasions, maybe in the center of the city, where a sheriff, like a police officer, a sheriff will ride a horse, and it looks so cool.
Oh, really?
Like, it looks so
epic.
Is it
for performance, or like, is it for show, or are they doing that like really when they're on duty, they ride a horse?
I don't think, it's not really a normal thing.
Okay.
See it like once a year.
Ah.
Like, so yeah, sometimes when there's a special event, like a game, or like I went to the rodeo. That's classic Texan event.
Oh.
Yeah, there were several sheriffs on a horse. I love seeing that. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm taken back. But no, it's not common at all. If I see it, I'm like, oh, look. Oh, that's so cool. Take a picture.
Ah, I see. So no horses for everyone.
No horses. Yeah. So that's the first stereotype.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two, do we wear like cowboy hats?
Oh.
Do all Texans wear cowboy hats? Yes and no. Because like, it depends where you are. I know I'm in Houston. We have a lot of like diversity.
Uh-huh.
We have people from Los Angeles, New York, like even Middle East, Asia, like everywhere. So we're super multicultural. If you move to like Austin, San Antonio, the level of people who look like a pure Texan goes up. Yeah.
So you're like saying that Texan. A pure Texan does exist, just like horses. But it's not, they are not in Houston.
True. Yes. Especially in the countryside, you know, because Austin, San Antonio, and Houston, they're major cities. You go outside there, like, I've never been there, but I've heard that it's more like country style.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rural areas, that's where you'll find those like classic country Texan style people. They're there. They're really there. So there's that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then people get so confused when I tell them that I'm from Texas, because here's the third stereotype, is that every Texan has a Texan accent.
Oh.
And, you know, we talk like this, and, you know, I live on a ranch, and I got some horses, y'all. You know, you got some pigs and cows and cattle. I don't talk like that.
I love how you just switch in a second.
It's fun.
So you can do that.
Yeah.
Where did you pick up? From your, like, relatives or?
Oh, no. No relatives even. None of my relatives speak like that. Like, because my mom is from Mexico.
Ah.
Fun fact. My mom is from Mexico. Yeah. And she's my only parent. My brothers grew up here. So a lot of people in Houston just have like a standard American accent, because you got people from New York, Los Angeles, all that. Yeah. So I don't have a Texan accent. But you can find people who used to live in the rural areas. They live here now. And, you know, they got that Texan accent. And I can kind of get into the intonation, not the twang and the man, like chewing the English.
Chewing
I don't
English.
Have that. Yeah. But sometimes I can get into like, you know what? I just feel like I'm walking into the store and I'm buying some milk. That kind of intonation sounds really like southern.
Oh, really?
And so I can naturally get into that. But no, like if I'm just talking like right now, this is my real voice.
This is your real voice.
Yeah.
We can say that Texan accent, it's not that universal as we imagine it to be.
Mm-hmm. True.
I see. But you know, I'm so happy to hear all of this, but it's like you're saying that these stereotypes do exist, but not on everyone, right?
Right. If I had to put a percentage on it, a whole Texas, I don't know. I haven't even traveled the entire Texas. Because, you know, if you put Taiwan on top of Texas, it will cover like Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. It will cover that. That's the major cities. It will like Taiwan will cover that part of Texas. But you have like everything west of that. And then that part, if you drive, I think it's like 16 hours of driving.
Oh my goodness.
From San Antonio to El Paso. It's huge and massive.
So at least double the size of Taiwan. I mean, at least.
Yeah, I think around double.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, so of course you haven't traveled to all the parts in Texas. It's just, yeah.
Then again, right, when you think about that, my scope and my perspective is pretty limited. I'll be honest. Yeah. Like, so we can't take my perspective like as the whole thing. That's why I say like I can't generalize. I've never been to every single part. I've never spoken to every single person. But that's my perspective. That's what I've experienced and lived, and you know, I've been around, but
wow.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, I love how you put it. Like it's your perspective. It doesn't represent for all the Texans, but it's still valuable, right? Because you know, for us, we don't get a taste of Texan culture, so it's still like so fun and to get your perspective.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
You know, you remind me of something else, and I posted on social media saying like, oh, y'all, you got to be careful because we don't like to be called, women do not like to be called ma'am anymore.
Oh.
I posted that on social media, and then someone else from the United States, he's like, that's not really right. I know women who do say that they would prefer to be called ma'am. I'm like, oh, really? Because all the women I've talked to, we hate being
called
ma'am.
Is this a generation thing?
I think it is. But I saw another teacher who posted the same thing, and she's a lot, not to be rude, but she's much older than me.
Oh, so she's like, please call me ma'am. Is that what she posted?
I don't know why I was doing that. But yeah, I realized like, I guess it's a regional thing or just a personal preference. Yeah. So that's why I try to avoid generalizing.
Do you mean that you feel a little bit offended when you are called it because of like your age, like you think you are not the age of men, or is it like something, is it a term of disrespect?
Definitely not a term of disrespect. Back in the day, I would say like, I'm not really sure, but over 10, 20 years ago, that was the standard. I even used ma'am for like the person at the grocery store, like, excuse me, ma'am, can you tell me where the milk is? Right. Standard. I don't do that anymore. Times have changed, and we're like, Americans are more like eye level. I don't want to be superior. I don't want to feel like I'm above you. So I was debating about this with my friend. Like, he loves being called sir. He asked me, am I bad? Am I like mean if I want to be called sir? I'm like, no, you're good. Like, it's okay. If I were a guy, I just like being like a friend. I like being at your same level because I like, you know, building that nice, sincere connection. If I say ma'am, I feel like there's distance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. A little bit too much respect, maybe?
Yeah. That's why I love the American vibe versus the British vibe. Because British, very respectful, formal, proper. Proper. I get messages on Instagram like, hello, ma'am. I'm like, I don't know you, but I just feel so weird right now. Like, ma'am? I have a name, like, just call me by my name. People are like, and then, you know, people are called me babe. People call me, like, sweetie and honey. I'm like, I don't know you.
That's too much.
Too much. Like, you just skip from ma'am to, like, babe. Like, how do you, like, can you just, like, close the gap? And they make it so complicated, but like, I wanna call you a nickname. Like, what nickname can I call you? Like, what can I call you? Just call me Hannah. Hannah. Simple. Like, you don't have to be complicated. I feel close to you if you call me Hannah. That's it.
Yeah, you're good. Totally. I think all listeners can learn a lesson here, right? Just, you know, it's like easy, right? Direct and easy. Just use the name.
Yeah. And I also really appreciate if someone literally asked me like, hey, what can I call you? I really appreciate
that. Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I care about that as well. I had a student, his name was spelled like K-A-V-A-N. And I made a mistake. I had him and I called him Kavon. I think I called him Kavon.
Is it not?
It's not Kavon. I was like, hey, Kavon, how's it going? I called him that for like several months. And then randomly, he just said, oh, Hannah, like, it's actually Kavon. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm like, why didn't you tell me that at the beginning? And I'm thinking to myself, like, I never asked him, actually. I never asked him, like, hey, can you, like, what do you want me to call you? What do you want me to call you? I feel so bad.
Yeah, so we should make it a habit to ask, like, what do I call you? What would you like to be called?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this tip. I mean, it's often these little things, right?
True. It makes a big difference in the relationship.
Yeah, I'm so glad we covered some expressions. And I think this is high time that I want to ask you about, you know, are there some Texan expressions, like, you know, those expressions that Texans understand, but maybe people in other parts of the United States don't really?
The classic one. I'm so impressed that my mom uses this because she, like I said, she's from Mexico. She's a non-native speaker. But she's been living here for 30-something years. And I'll hear her say it. I'm like, wow, you sound so Houstonian. You sound so, like, Texan. You know, we get impressed when people from another place can use those kind of expressions.
Yeah, that's why we're asking this tips.
First one that we use here in the South. I won't say this is only Texan. I think it became popular in Texas. It's fixing to. I'll give example sentences and maybe you can kind of get the context. So, hey, Bingo, I'm fixing to go to the store. Do you need anything? I'm fixing to go to the store.
Like,
you need
ready to go to the store?
Pretty much. It's like, I'm about to do it. It's like, I'm going to soon. I'm going to do that thing soon. And so, you know, actually, I did that more smooth. I didn't say I'm fixing to. Here in the South, we like to smooth it out. We say, I'm fixing.
Fixing.
Just like we do.
Be a little bit lazy here, right? Lazy in the tongues and mouth.
Yeah. Right. People tell me, you know, I'll reference Mandarin a little bit, Taiwanese style Mandarin, because like I'm struggling with that. You know, I was like, I heard my friend, he was like, Zhou Zhang. I'm like, what? Zhou Zhang. Like, 都是这样, I'm like, what? Bro. You complain about Americans, how we talk so fast. Yo, y'all talk so freaking fast. I'm like, how do y'all not get us? Like, we do the same thing that y'all do. But yeah, we do the same thing. So it goes from fixing to, and then it goes fixin to, like I just delete the G. And then you'll also hear people do finna, like the gangster people. I'm finna, you know, like kind of gangster style. I'm finna text him right now. Yeah, you might be viewed as someone who doesn't have a high level of education, so just depends on your style.
I see.
If you want to be like rapper style, like, hey, man, like, I'm finna go there right now. It just sounds like a totally different vibe versus fixin' to. Fixin' to is like standard.
So it depends on like who you're talking to or how you want to be seen in the city, right?
Yeah. So that's one phrase that we use here in the South, here in Texas. And we say y'all. We say y'all a lot. I say y'all. Y'all are so crazy. Y'all are cool. Y'all make the best pecan pie ever. Y'all got a nice house. So y'all is a contraction. You all. You plural.
Y'all.
Y'all are so crazy. Y'all are just amazing. Y'all are so cool.
Well, you were like shooting all these compliments. Keep them coming. It's again, something like what you said, like getting lazy in your mouth.
Right. Just relax. Just like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I think that's what like non-native speakers often have trouble with. How to pronounce it right, but also be relaxed. It's really the challenge.
I tell my students, like, just, like, we have to know how to enunciate first before you relax. Because if you just go, you learn English, like, the lazy way, you will not, like, be understood. If the first word I learned is, like, gonna, I'm gonna, like, I've seen people do it like that, and I can't understand. I'm like, they're mixing too much. They mix so much that I'm like, I can't really recognize what you're trying to say. So I would give that advice. Don't focus on sounding native first. Focus on sounding super clear like I am right now. I am enunciating and dropping my jaw, moving my mouth so much so that you can understand every single thing. So then, once you got that down, you can get the flow, the connection of words. So if I say, I am going to go to the store. I am going to go to the store. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to go to the store. Yeah, you can feel that mouth movement, the tongue and all that movement. And then it just transitions. The more you say it, you naturally, you don't even have to think about it.
You know, I even told some of my students that you can even, like, not think about getting to that relaxed, being relaxed in that way. You can just, you know, you can even stop at the point, you know, you can just enunciate clearly. That's good enough.
Right. True. Yes.
Yeah. And actually, we all like to hear people, native speakers too, to enunciate and pronunciate clearly. So there's no wrong in that.
Yes. Right? There's no, like, if you look at TED Talks, like, people love to watch TED Talks. They speak nice and clear. So I think sounding native is overrated.
Yeah.
I think sounding native. And what does that even mean, right? Like, we think that I need to say I'm gonna do something, or, like, I don't know. You know, yeah, that will help you it definitely sound more relaxed, sound more natural. I advocate for that.
Yeah.
Sounding natural so that you don't say, I am going to help you. Do you need some help? I will help you. Like, you sound like Siri. Let's like relax a little bit. Yeah. So balance is everything. Don't take everything so seriously. That's what I've learned myself.
Yeah. That's an important message. As you were sharing how guilty of you, you know, about, like, not immersing yourself in Chinese, I think I'm guilty of this other things too. Like, I used to also have this obsession that I have to transform my accent to be able to sound like native. It's like, it's a sin to be noticed that I am not a native speaker. But as you said, that it's first, not realistic, and second, not necessary at all.
Right.
And I think I started to, you know, get that it's okay to have some accent as long as I can make myself clear.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, like, from talking to people like you, open-minded. And also, you know, when I was listening to some news podcast, we can hear all sorts of accents from people around the world. And when we listen to other people having the accent, but speaking clearly, we feel okay when they are doing that. So why can't we feel okay for ourselves, right?
Right. You're so accurate. It's like what you said is so true. And, like, that's the thing. I think it's just a lot of insecurity in ourselves, like the need to be perfect. Perfectionism is like an infection. I had that. I literally had that sense of perfectionism. And that's why I cried so much. Can you imagine? Like, I think it sounds so pathetic to think, like, oh, wow, an American was crying because her language skill wasn't good enough. Like, how pathetic. What in the world? Yeah, we should not think about it like that.
Yeah.
Like, those are real feelings. And it just takes a lot of, like, coaching and being around the right people, encouraging people. And if someone, here's what I love. My mom is so confident in her language skill, and she makes grammar mistakes all the time. Even after living in the United States for 30 plus years, she still makes mistakes. She doesn't care. She said, like, a grammar mistake. She's like, okay, did you understand me or not? Like, if I cannot correct my mom. I'm like, I can't say, like, oh, mom, it's you are, not you is.
She just doesn't care, right? The vibe is cool.
Yeah. She's like, understand me or not. If you don't understand me, learn Spanish and then we'll talk.
Wow.
Right?
I think we all need a little bit of that not give a fuck vibe, right?
Yes, honestly. So I love that energy so much. So if we surround ourselves with people like that, if we can search and find and like just have those friends who are like that don't give a fuck attitude, but in a way that's respectful.
Because
are some people who have that don't give a fuck attitude and it's like, they're being disrespectful. They're like being rude and they still have that insecurity, but they have that tough face. They have that mask. They just have that attitude for being tough. So like we have to recognize it takes a lot of like trial and error because I've met those people. But like, I know when I see it, I'm like, oh, I love your confidence. Can we talk? Like, can we just have a conversation real quick? I want your energy to infect me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And if I hear someone complaining, if I hear one of my friends, they're like, oh, I suck. I'm so awful. I made this mistake and I'm so stupid. Like, if I'm around that energy, I will do my best to encourage you, but I can't be with you for too long because I'm going to be infected.
Totally. I understand. You know, I think actually like talk about how we got to know each other. You know, in the beginning, Hannah messaged me to ask me to do a collab reels. And, at that time I was pivoting away from making reels to like focusing on podcast production. Yeah. So I was worrying, like, should I just decline her? But I decided to do this interview because of your energy. Cause I was like watching your content. I think, you know, this is a person that I want to connect with. So that's why we're doing this interview. I'm just going to say it here, put it out here.
Yes. Thank you. That's what I try to encourage my students to feel is like, just like release everything. Like, and I try to show them how to be more friendly phrases. Don't be like so rigid and like robotic. Like, how can you build that connection? It's life changing. I used to be introverted.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not. In high school, I didn't talk to anyone. I did not. I was like, I was just with my hoodie like this. I was like, you know, emo almost. And
did you say so, like I finna back then?
I finna like sit in this class and not talk to anyone, man.
Yeah. So you used to be introverted.
Yeah.
But now you're like talking to so many students. So I believe you're still kind of introverted, right? Because it's not something we like change overnight. But how do you cope with that? You know, any skills like you developed?
I love this topic because, you know, I mentioned I'm introverted, but I actually don't believe there's such thing as introverted and extroverted. I believe that introverted people like me, I was labeled as introverted because I wasn't around the people that matched my energy. Like I was actually held back a grade. I repeated first grade. So I was, you know, when I was 15, everyone else was 14. 1 year sounds like it's not a big difference, but like maturity level, also because of like my past and stuff like that I've been through, I was so much more mature than everyone else. I just knew that. And I just heard their conversation. I'm like, that's so stupid. I was like, I cannot relate to you. You're talking about like boyfriend drama and like you're complaining about how stupid the homework is. I'm like, I just stayed in my zone. I couldn't relate. I couldn't talk to them. When I tried to talk to them, they were like, confused. They're like, they couldn't understand what I was talking about. I was super philosophical. I was so philosophical. I was like, you know, like life is like blah 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 blah. And they're like
life is partying.
Yes. I'm like, okay. So I noticed like how magical is it that I could connect with people who had that same passion like towards learning a language, just learning in general. I was like, oh my God, you're like me. Oh my God, can we like connect? You're like a unicorn to me. So I feel so excited if I can like find someone who loves things like I do, because I'm a very sensitive person. You can feel my emotions like this. That's why I'm super excited, but I also cry like a little baby too. I have my highs and lows. I'm super sensitive. And so when I find those people, I'm like, I'm not introverted anymore. And so I don't believe there's introverted and extroverted. It's just about like feeling comfortable to express myself. And do I feel safe? Do I feel safe and understood and heard? Because I think we all are social animals. Yeah. I think humans are just meant to be social
animals. Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Because I've often labeled myself as an introverted person. But now you speak of it, I think it's true that when I meet people who share the same energy or same beliefs with me, I am like talkative. I am like more than willing to connect. So yeah, maybe it's a label to help us understand part of us, but it shouldn't represent all of us, right?
Yeah. I think we're all a mix. Everyone is a mix, just depending on the people that we're around and like also our upbringing. Like, did our parents criticize us for things that we said? If my mom, like, or my parents just spoke to me in a way like, you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't say that. It's about how we grew up, and that forms, you know, like how we want to express ourselves. Do we feel like, oh, people are going to think I'm weird or I shouldn't say that?
Yeah, I really love it because you really need to get to know yourself better to have a better life in your own definition. So labels off, right? Labels off. Nothing's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Since we, you know, we're here talking about weird, I want to, you know, I often ask my guest this question. I think everyone has their own way to learn a foreign language. And I think sometimes there are some weird way or just maybe different ways to learn English. So among the ways you learn Mandarin, you know, which one is the weirdest in your mind? I mean, should I share my first?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Mine is actually normal, but also weird that I talk to myself a lot. Like I talk to myself in English in my room a lot. Like I often use the pronoun we. Like, what are we going to do today? And then I'm going to answer myself. So I think that's one of the weirdest thing I do. Do you do that too?
I do that. I recommend my students to do that too. I'm like, yo, you're going to look crazy. You're going to feel like a weirdo. Okay. But that is how you build the English speaking brain. I always tell my students, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And what are you doing? So like, oh, I'm fixing to go to the store and I'm thinking about maybe I might call my mom. And so, you know, all those things. And like that consistency. I was doing that in Mandarin. So mine is similar, but even more weird.
Tell me about it.
It's even more weird. So I go outside and I'm like, you know what? I need to speak Mandarin, but no one's available. So I go outside with my dogs and I start throwing the ball. I'm like, oh, la 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 la. Okay, how? Oh. And I'm like, oh, papu, papu, papu.
You mean you're learning Mandarin? And your learning pal is your dog.
Yes.
I mean, it's certainly weirder than me. I say it as a compliment because I don't talk to my dog. I have a dog too. I don't talk to my dog in English ever. And I think it's smart of you to think of this strategy, right?
Like, they're not going to criticize me. They give unconditional love. They're not going to look at me like a weird face. Yeah. Like, oh, Nitaozika, I'll like compliment them, ask them what they think. Like, it's a whole experience. Like, a whole, like, oh, can you give me a recommendation? And try to, like, you can say anything.
So talking to yourself in Mandarin or even talking to your pets. So I guess, can we extend that to talking to your like, stuffed animal?
You could. My student does that. My student told me I was talking to him. I was like, girl, you got it. Keep going. Yeah. Because in the comfort of our own room, in the comfort of solitude, you can do whatever you want. And like, just take that liberty. Why not? Like, what's stopping us? That's the beautiful thing. Yeah. Like, we could do anything. So just talk to your stuffed animals, talk to the mirror, like you said, talk to yourself. And like, I love doing voice audio. Like, I love to record it because then I can listen back and I'm like, oh,
whoa.
I said that kind of weird. And in the moment, I don't recognize it, but I listen back. Even my old ones. I love comparing myself to how I spoke before. The best person we should compare ourselves to is ourselves. I hate that I compare myself to other people. This is what we do as society. That's like,
yeah, we shouldn't do that.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
And it's not the way. Yeah. So I just listened. The other day I listened to my class recording from like 6 months ago. And I was like, oh, why did I say like, I said, 我去 外面八点半. I'm like, no, 八点半 should go like after 我. So like,
yeah, that means improvement, right?
I cringe a little bit.
But how do you overcome the cringe? Because I was thinking, well, how brave of you. Because lots of students of foreign languages, they they just couldn't bring themselves to listen to their own audios. So how did you overcome that, you know, insecurity?
That is a really great question. We were forced to do it in middle school when I was taking Spanish classes. I was taking Spanish classes back in middle school. And actually, maybe my second year of learning Spanish, we did more speaking. That's what I love about my Spanish classes, that the teacher emphasized speaking more. Like we would do the audio for like the exam. And like we would have to go outside of the classroom and record ourselves and blah, 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 talk about our day. And then sometimes we had to listen back just to make sure that it was fully recorded. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so bad. And then I just had to do that throughout the year. I was forced to do it. So since I did it all the time, I'm like, okay. And even my mom laughed at me. I'm like, okay, yeah, mom, I know you think I sound so weird. I don't know why you think I sound weird, but okay. And just like little by little, I start getting compliments and I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm not that bad. Okay, I can keep going. And so I just start feeling more proud of myself and getting recognition from other people. And I'm like, oh, okay. Let's keep doing this. And since I recommended my students to do the same thing, I felt their cringe. I'm like, oh, yeah, you were like me. I'm not that anymore. So I just recognized, like, the more we do it, the more, like, we just let go of those cringy feelings. It just takes time. Yeah.
That was so helpful. So I guess for our listeners, if you feel the cringe when you need to listen back to your audios, maybe just power through it and you will see the benefits, right? And it's those benefits that help you overcome those insecurities.
For sure. That's what it is. Take it day by day. It's hard, but we can do it.
I think we should come down to our final question that I often ask my guests. What do you believe is the key to mastering a language? If you have to put it to one key, one thing. Yeah.
One key. Oh, man, this is so cliche, I feel like, because I think I see it all the time. So cliche. And so, like, maybe you want to roll your eyes at it when I tell you. It's enjoy the process. Focus on the journey, not the destination. That's what I have to keep reminding myself every single day. Enjoy the process. It's not about the result. It's not about the destination. It's not about reaching the finish line. It's about the journey as you go, like every day, the little accomplishments, like, yes, feeling proud. And if there's a bad day, we have bad days. That's it. Like, just accept it. Like, be kind to ourselves and it's going to be okay. Like, the world is still going on and we got this. Like, it will happen. We have a brain and the brain works. We just have to be patient with ourselves and believe that we can do it.
I always encourage my students and my listeners that you need to find stuff or methods that spark joy for you. I think it's the same spirit. Like, you really need to enjoy the process and find things spark joy for you so you can keep doing it.
We have to really feel it. Yeah, really feel it. Put it to practice. Because if we don't, nothing's going to happen.
Wow. And don't compare with other people. Just take actions and, you know, embark on your journey. So, wow. Thank you for so many powerful messages today, like in one interview. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you again for coming to our show. Wow.
I'm so happy, Bingo. Yeah. So feel free if you need any help with English, I got you. Just contact me at Speak On with Hannah. And I'm so happy that you recognize my energy to invite me on the podcast. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you so much. Very grateful. So you can find Hannah on Instagram. And your account is at
Speak On with Hannah's.
Yeah, so you can go find it, enjoy the great content, and maybe even contact her to, you know, try out some lessons, right?
Yes. You're always welcome. Always welcome. Any level, doesn't matter.
And thank you to our listeners. I hope you enjoy this episode. We'll update a new episode soon. See ya. For now, bye-bye.
Bye.